Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so the NBA offseason will be here before we know it. Well, it is here for a handful of teams, or for several teams. There's a handful still going. The latest team to get eliminated last night was the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they won 64 games in the regular season. They get eliminated in five games by the Indiana Pacers. So we are on track now for an Indiana and likely a New York Knicks Eastern Conference final. And then OKC wins last night against Denver. They're one game away from getting to the Western Conference Finals, which will probably be against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Boy, I lay out those teams, Seth. I'm like, we're trending towards Indiana versus New York in the East, and we're trending towards OKC versus Minnesota in the West. The Knicks are going to get every call. Every call. Indiana, yeah. OKC, and Minnesota. And then you got the New York Knicks, the biggest city in the free world. The NBA, if I were into conspiracy theories, I'm more into that than I am the lottery being a conspiracy. Getting to a few rogue refs and having a few extra calls for Jalen Brunson to get them to the NBA Finals.
That you know, the other discussion that's going on a lot right now is all the increase in Achilles tendon tears in the NBA.
Yes.
And that there is evidence that because a lot of the old heads had said, man, it's these low rise, it's these low top. Sneakers that everybody's wearing, and there is evidence for that where the high tops do protect you. High tops laced up appropriately, like and tightly enough, do give you some support, and there's fewer Achilles tendon injuries there. So I am so wear the high tops, young
kids.
Think
we see a comeback of the high tops, huh? Maybe,
yeah,
maybe, possibly. Jason Tatum's Achilles is torn. He got surgery on that yesterday, so it's really interesting, Seth, with some of the teams that are getting knocked out and the reasons they're getting knocked out now. It's really relevant to the Rockets because for all these teams, it's yet another store that opens up with wares inside that the Rockets could be maybe shopping yeah. for. We heard Brian Windhorst a couple of days ago say that the two teams that make the most sense for Giannis Antetokounmpo in a trade were the Rockets and the Spurs.
Two things you have to know about the Bucks when you consider a trade. Number one, the Bucks do not control their first-round pick for 5 years. That means if the Bucks are going to trade him, thinking that they're going to tank for the next 3 years and rebuild is not going to happen. They need quality players. And the other thing that you need to know is if you're going to trade Giannis to a team that's going to be a super team, getting that team's draft assets is not exciting because they're not going to be very high picks for the next few years. So you're going to look at teams that have players to trade and other teams' draft assets that they can trade besides theirs. San Antonio and Houston.
Okay, so if Windhorst he's all over San Antonio and Houston for Giannis. Now that's for Giannis. So the Celtics lose Jason Tatum. They're not knocked out of the playoffs yet, but it ain't looking good. Knicks are up 3-1. They'll try to close out the series tonight. But Boston, who is already being rumored to be a team that was going to be shopping some guys in the offseason, they've just got a bloated payroll. Good, bad, or champion or not, they've got a bloated payroll. Here was Mark Spears of ESPN talking about the two teams that make the most sense to be attacking the Celtics roster with trade offers this offseason.
The two teams I'm keeping an eye on for a couple of these guys, perhaps, is one is the Houston Rockets. Why? Ime Udoka's there. They've been certainly rumored to wanting to upgrade their roster, and he knows these guys, and they probably would be attracted to returning to play with him. And then another team is the San Antonio Spurs as well. They got the number two pick, and I'm told that the Spurs are quite happy with the talent that's available at number two, but they're going to explore potentially trades as well.
Yeah, and they're going to say that because they've got to make that pick. They got to have leverage with that pick. They're going to say they're interested in taking one of the Rutgers kids. But they might have a chance to trade that pick and go get somebody off the Celtics roster. The Celtics payroll, Jason Tatum, $54 million. Jaylen Brown, $53 million. Jrue Holiday, $32 million. Kristaps Porzingis, $31 million. Derek White, $28 million. They've got five guys making more than $28 million. They've got two that are making north of $50 million, and one of them just had Achilles surgery yesterday.
Yeah.
So the Celtics might be in that mode, Seth. And again, to Spear's point, Ime Udoka knows these guys. You know, like he was yeah, in the building with some of these guys.
You know what? If you had to pick the likelihood of a trade between Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, or of any one of the number of other guys that are prominent players, but just not in that same level of MVP caliber status. What's more likely? A notable trade for a really good player that still makes a good chunk of money, but he's not in that MVP realm, or those two guys.
I think it's more likely
that it's going to be a lesser heralded guy.
Yes, you and I. Yeah, yeah. That
I phrased that wrong.
No,
sorry,
no, no. But
yeah.
you're talking like, is it going to be from the group of Antetokounmpo and Durant, or from the group of everybody else?
Yeah,
I would say the group of everybody else.
Okay, now is it more likely one of those two guys, Durant or Antetokounmpo, or specifically a Boston Celtic?
Now, that's a great question, because this Tatum injury changes the calculus on a lot of things here. You know, do they?
My thought with Tatum was almost like, man, if you get him at a discount, kind of like with Kevin Durant when he went to the Nets, knowing that he's not going to be available for an entire year.
But then
the problem is, okay, then you got a wing that, like, you like your young wings and you want to see how they're coming along. And it might almost be redundant a couple of years from now after Amen Thompson has won his first MVP.
I was going to say, too, like, The Tillman Fertitta doesn't seem like the guy who would want to pay $54 million for a guy to rehab an injury. I'm like, he paid John Wall like $90 million to sit and do nothing. Like,
just to keep him happy
just
at home.
Hang out. Yeah. So,
Well, that's the thing. It would have to be, obviously, the trade compensation would have
for
to be
sure.
the discount.
For sure.
And
for
you're
sure.
right. But no, but salary-wise and everything, it just wouldn't make a lot of
Jaylen
sense.
Jaylen Brown's an interesting one. And that's one that's been talked about before at times with the Rockets because of the relationship with Ime Udoka. We'll learn a lot about Jaylen Brown tonight, I think. You know, there's going to be no Jason Tatum in this game. Jaylen Brown's getting paid what Jason Tatum is getting paid. Like, if Jaylen Brown is a guy who's worth the $53 million a year to the Celtics, he finds a way to extend this series tonight. They're home. You know, they're back home. Maybe there's a little bit of an energy burst from the nobody believes in us thing. But Jaylen Brown would be an interesting one, depending on what you had to give up for the Rockets. The other guys here, Holiday, Porzingis, Derek White at $28 million, no thanks. But it's really funny, Seth. Like, with every team that gets knocked out of the postseason, I was seeing yesterday, I think it was Spolane that was tweeting, like, you know, if the Cavaliers get knocked out tonight, which they did, then the Rockets should make some phone calls about Donovan Mitchell and see if he's available there. You know, Donovan Mitchell, an all-star two-guard. I think, like, the names, like the Giannis name and KD, they're going to be there. There are going to be more names that get thrown in the mix for the Rockets that we're going to be workshopping here over the next several weeks, I think, that aren't at the forefront right now. With each team that gets knocked out of the playoffs and whatnot, there's going to be, like, even in Denver, if they get knocked out of the playoffs, they're operating with an interim head coach and an interim GM right now, with rumors that Jokic might not want to be there long term, depending on what direction they go as a franchise. This is going to be one of the it would be one of the most interesting summers in the NBA for us, just as fans watching it. But the fact that the Rockets and the Spurs, not just the Rockets, but the Rockets and the Spurs, their arch rival right down the highway, are the two teams that are going to get brought up for all these guys. They're the equivalent of what the Washington Commanders were in the NFL during free agency, where the odds came out on every single free agent, and the Commander, you couldn't go three teams down the list without the Commanders being there, because they had a ton of salary cap space. The Rockets have the equivalent of what you need to make deals like that in the NBA. The equivalent of the salary cap space in NFL free agency is draft picks and young players in the NBA.
And I guess if the Rockets don't make a whole lot of moves and they say, all right, we trust, we believe in Jalen Green more so than the public at large. We love these. You know, everybody loves Amen Thompson. That's an easy one.
Yep.
Şengün, obviously, there's still more upside with him. He's still 22 years old.
Yes.
That I could totally get with that. And then it's a leap of faith in some regards. It's kind of like the Texans with their offensive line right now, where you're like, all right, well, no, that's an insult to the Rockets. Sorry. The Texans' offensive line doesn't have as many reasons to be optimistic about it as you do the young Rockets. But there's a trusting the process part of it with the Rockets, where you got to say, all right, between Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka, they know what they have in these guys. And you can sit up those draft picks, you can keep kicking them down the road. Yeah. You can keep converting them into other draft picks. Like, Oklahoma City, or like the Celtics did, you know, for the longest time, just wait until the right moment and the right opportunity. And this year, the right, and then maybe, you know, the James Harden type trade comes along.
Yes.
Like the best thing about the James Harden trade for the Rockets when they first got James Harden was it was so affordable, and it was there just because the Rockets, because Daryl Morey was always calling people,
yeah,
and he had the assets to do it. So you're sitting on, it's like a company keeping a lot of cash, yep, on their books. It's like, all right, and people, public companies, people say, why do you have so much cash? Why do you have so much cash?
Yeah.
You should be investing that. And the good companies say, well, because we don't think it's the right moment. We're like, when we have the right opportunity and we think it's smart, then we'll spend that cash. But the Rockets have a whole bunch of spending cash in the form of lottery picks. And if Rafael Stone just feels like there's not an appropriate deal out there, I'm cool with that for this year.
Well, and I think the question, one of the questions you have to ask yourself is the trust level in Rafael Stone should be very high right now. What's the last bad move Rafael Stone's made? You know what I mean? Like the last move they've made that I can really criticize the Rockets over from a front office standpoint, from a Rafael Stone standpoint, was the trust that they were putting in Kevin Porter Jr. That they thought Kevin, now they got him for nothing, but that they thought Kevin Porter Jr. could be a core player on a team that would eventually start winning. Kevin Porter Jr. is a reserve on the Bucks right now for a reason. He's not one of those guys, on or off the court. And that's the last thing. I can't criticize him for, I mean, unless Reed Shepard doesn't work out with the third overall pick, but it's way too early to flush that. I'm talking about moves that we can look at now and say, that is a failed move. They hit to the degree that you're supposed to on where they drafted all those guys for those 3 years, two guys each year. They hit on those picks. Jalen Green is in the conversation for All-Star during the regular season. Shangoon is an All-Star. Amen mm-hmm. Thompson is a future star. Jabari Smith and Tari Eason are very, very viable role players in the NBA. Maybe Jabari's the one, third overall pick. He's just a role player, but he was a third overall pick in a three-player draft. Like, they didn't get lucky and get Banchero or Chet Holmgren. The signings they've made, yeah, is Fred VanVleet a little expensive? Yeah, but they had the cap space to do it. That's been a good signing for this team. Dylan Brooks has been a good signing for this. The Steven Adams trade was a stroke of genius to trade for him, you know, kind of what you were just talking about, like a miniature version of the Jason Tatum thing where you trade for an injured guy, gave a couple second-round picks for an injured, aging, expensive guy, slightly expensive guy, $12 million, I guess, and you bring him in and you just stash him for a year, and now he's the pivotal guy for you down the stretch and in the postseason. It's hard to find a move that Rafael Stone has made over the last two or three years that hasn't turned out positive for this team. So along those lines, I know we've got a huge segment of the fan base that feels like you got to get rid of Jalen Green, move off of him. You got to make a big move. You're in a championship window now. I kind of trust whatever Rafael Stone's evaluation is of this thing right now.
Sean, I'm in a circle of hell right now. And it's something we discussed earlier. Yeah. It's relevant to basketball, everybody. But it's this ESPN is going to have this single package for whatever, whatever. Which I already have the ESPN, Hulu, Disney package.
Too. Yeah, me too.
But I'm in that circle of hell we talked about, the password circle of hell, where I had tried to log into Hulu, but the password wasn't right, so I changed my password on Hulu. But now I'm trying to log into ESPN.com, but my password had been changed because that's your Disney password. But somehow I have a separate password for.
Oh my god! Are you okay?
So I wanted to look up how ESPN traded the James Harden trade.
How they graded it back in the day?
Yeah, the Rockets, it was all over the place. I think CBS Sports gave the Rockets a C on that one. It was almost, what's that?
They were wrong. Yeah.
Well, no, because a lot of people now, like the talking heads, a lot of them were crushing the Rockets for that trade.
Yeah.
The more analytical types were like, well, you know, no, it makes sense, this, that, the other. I saw one, Sports Illustrated gave him an A-.
Yeah.
So it was all over the place. Yeah. And obviously, the people who were crushing the Rockets for that trade back when it happened, mostly based on the fact that, hey, these Nets picks are going to be worthless. They'll be worthless in the coming years.
I should have asked which Harden trade. You're looking at the Harden Nets?
The original Rockets to the
Nets?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought you were talking about the one that brought Harden here that you were talking about.
No. The Rockets to the Nets.
Yeah. I'm like, someone gave that Harden trade a C?
No, the one that brought him to Houston?
Okay. The one with the Nets. And again, if they don't hit on those first-round picks, then that trade is a C. But they got Tari Eason out of it. They got Reed Sheppard out of it. They took those picks and then traded him to Phoenix to get all these Phoenix picks.
But the thinking at the time was, look, the Nets have just created this super team.
Yes.
These are all, you're going to be picking 28th with all these picks. And everybody else, I feel like people with a rational brain were looking around and be like, you expect Kyrie and Kevin Durant, James Harden to be
You and I said it the day after that trade. You and I looked at each other on this show and said, those are three wild personalities to expect to get along for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They did
Kyrie
not.
Kyrie didn't want to play with LeBron James.
Yeah. What
part of him being on a super team thinks that what makes you think it's going to last?
Donovan Mitchell text message on this. Donovan Mitchell would be the biggest popcorn fart of an offseason for the Rockets I could imagine. I'm with you on that. I've never been big on Donovan Mitchell. I've always thought he's been a little overrated. I thought he was overrated with the Jazz. I think he's been a little overrated with the Cavs, although he was the only thing that was good in this series, but I'm not all for whatever it is you're going to trade for. If it's an all-star, you're going to give up a lot.
I am kind of an all or nothing guy on this, right? The Donovan Mitchell for me, I'd kind of almost feel like,
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh boy, I wonder if, man, maybe they're trying a little too hard now. I'd rather have them run it back and get some guys on the fringe in terms of shooters and whatnot.
I don't want Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell's overrated. I think he's overpaid, and I'm not surprised he's the best player on a team that won 64 games and just got knocked out in the second round. I'm not.
If I had to choose between popcorn farts, I choose the popcorn fart of running it back more so than I do the popcorn fart of Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, because if you get that popcorn fart wrong, then you got to change your underwear, you know?
Right, like it turned into a shark.
Yeah. That's because
Ben, I don't know if you should. Man, now you're good with that one.
No, he dumped it.
You don't have to dump
that,
right?
It looks like. Did you dump it, Ben? Yeah, Ben's just playing it safe.
Yeah, it's probably a good one. Yeah.
Ben's just playing it safe.
Good job, Ben.
Way to go, Ben. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. I'm excited for this offseason. I wish the Rockets were still playing, but every team that loses, all of a sudden, there's like one or two guys on that team. Where the Rockets, it feels like they're just stepping up to a really expensive flea market or garage sale. Like, all right, let's take a look and see what you got in here. And they might not end up buying anything, but it's kind of fun. All right, Will Anderson, charity event yesterday. I love hearing Will Anderson talk and hearing him talk about Danielle Hunter. Boy, when you hear him talk about Danielle Hunter, you realize that was a great signing, not just for the 14 sacks that Danielle gets you, but for the effect that he's having on young players as well. We will have that for you coming up next. Payne and Pendergast with you. This was Will Anderson yesterday. He was at a charity event, or at least an awareness event for driver safety. USAA was sponsoring it. It was at Firehouse 55 here in Houston. You can go online and see Will Anderson demonstrating the use of the Jaws of Life on there, which I would submit that Will Anderson's own two arms could serve as a Jaws of Life. If there's a Houston athlete that you needed to rip the door off of your car to get you out of it, Will Anderson is probably in the top five here, I would say, in Houston. Danielle Hunter would be number one, I think, for me.
John Weeks would be number one if you were still here, because he is an actual volunteer firefighter. So he had experience running the Jaws of Life.
That is true.
So he might not have the physique of either of those guys, but he would probably be, if you actually want to live and not just get to say like, oh, Will Anderson saved me. Yeah,
no, but if there were no Jaws of Life, but they just had to use their two arms to rip the door open.
Yeah.
I'd pick Danielle Hunter, I think. But Will would be close. And so would John Weeks. You know what? Just because I like John Weeks, I'd be like, you know what? I don't want to hurt John Weeks' feelings. You're top five too, buddy.
John Weeks would have all the knowledge of how to use leverage to his advantage.
There you go.
Because of his experience.
That's right.
I'm tired of you crapping all over John Weeks, man.
Me?
Yeah.
Talking about, what did I say about John Weeks? Why would I? I didn't crap on him.
I'm just joking. You doubted his. You doubted his firefighting basically the paramedic side of being.
Oh, okay. I wonder if I said something earlier when we brought him up as this topic here, like a lifetime Houston Texan. I don't want anything to get misconstrued with John Weeks. Here's Will Anderson saying, "I want to be a Texan forever."
Most definitely. I want to be here the rest of my career, honestly. Like, as long as I can be here, that's when I want to be here, man. And, you know, those guys, they deserve it. They work really hard. They put a lot of hard work into, you know, their craft. And you see it on Sunday, and I'm excited to be a part of the team.
All right, he's talking about Derek Stingley Jr. and Jalen Petrie, Danielle Hunter, guys that got money this offseason.
Yeah. And he, Will Anderson be the last guy that I'd expect that all of a sudden he gets up and does a Trey Hendrickson or something.
And I wouldn't expect the Texans to be the organization that puts him in that position either.
Right.
You know?
Like, well, no, obviously. Yeah. They're very proactive.
Yeah.
The only guys that has really agitated publicly about it is in recent years is Steven Nelson.
That's right.
You know, Laramie would make the side eye emoji whenever anybody and another offensive tackle got paid, but that was about the sum total of it. It never got acrimonious or anything. But with Will, he's just gonna always say the right thing.
He's gonna get paid. Like, he's, unless something bad happens, he's gonna get paid next offseason. Will Anderson also went on the NFL Network yesterday and was asked by Tom Pelissero, is there anything, Tom Pelissero and then a co-host who I'm not sure who it was, asking, is there anything you're honing in on this offseason?
Most definitely. You know, I talk about it all the time, and, you know, just talking to the rookies and talking to other, you know, my coach, he's helped me. It's really just about enjoying your process and how much better can you be at your process. And for me, is how much greater can I be at my process? How much can I be consistent with doing my process day in and day out? And that just comes from how my stance looks, how my get off looks, how my arms are, how am I using my hands, how am I shedding off blocks. So, like, just consistently doing my process the right way to keep building and getting better game in and game out.
You know, the cool thing about him and Danielle Hunter is that Danielle's got a different style than Will Anderson. So it's not like you want Will out there trying to emulate all the things that Danielle Hunter does, because Danielle Hunter's like Gumby. I mean, he can move his body in ways that most other human beings
can't. He's got that Euro step, too, that he uses.
Right, yeah. Where Will is much more of a power rusher. Yeah. But the carryover or the common ground between both those guys is some of the basics of getting out of your stance, but then also how do you use your hands. That's something that, like, Will got a lot better at last year, and you could tell that he'd worked at it. He showed better bend at the top of his rush, and those were the things he talked about working on and improving in the offseason. So everything that he did last year to improve his pass rush, it's not like he has to uncover some new secret superpower or something. He just needs to continue to refine it, and he understands that it's a career-long process that you just always have to be working at it.
You're absolutely right. That's the cool thing about Will Anderson over the course of his rookie year to last year, was he would get asked, and he was very open about, these are the things I'm looking to improve upon. And I think the Texans coach in a manner that's like that as well. You know, they talk about
they have pro-grow tapes. They focus on a few specific things that you're supposed to be working on.
Yeah, and so Will was very open about what those things were, and then to see it come to fruition, because you see a lot of guys, I don't know if it's lip service or they're just not good enough to improve at those things, but to see it with that guy, to say this, this, and this, and then you watch him, and he is much more refined in year two than he was in year one.
Well, that's where, I mean, and that was Will's challenge. Will was very raw as a pass rusher. When you look at the guys who have been the sack leaders over the course of the past decade, by and large, almost all of them had single-digit sacks in the rookie season and then double-digit sacks in their second or third season. It's a process to learn how to rush the passer in the NFL. There's way more technique involved in it than people might think. It's not just running around people, unless you're, you know, Javon Curse back in the day.
Right.
There's a lot more to it. And that was my reservation with Will as a really high draft pick was, all right, yeah, he did some really good stuff in college, but he is raw, and he's gonna have to figure this out. And he did a lot of it during his rookie year, but then he just took a huge step forward last year.
Yeah, which makes this year super exciting. And along those lines, Will was asked, do you have a sack total in mind for this season?
It's double digits. It's double digits. It doesn't matter what double digit number, it's just double digits, man. And, you know, I've been able just to take it one game at a time and take it one play at a time. And I have to give a huge shout out to Daniil, man. He's been a double digit guy, sack guy, since he's been in the league. And to see his process and to see, you know, he doesn't worry about those things. He's just like, bro, I'm just going out there and playing. I think that's been able to help me and calm me down. And, you know, I always tell people, we're like fire and ice. When I look at Daniil, my fire just whoops on, because he just brings that presence. Like, it's going to be okay, bro. You're going to get it. So just lucky to have him and blessed to have him on the team.
Yeah, with pass rushers, it's It's interesting. They almost have to have a baseball type mentality. Because the sacks, there's a certain randomness to it. You can play an incredible game and have zero sacks, but you could be rushing the passer really well, and you just don't come up with one. So sometimes really good pass rushers will go, they'll go three or four games without a sack, and you got to remind yourself, just like baseball hitters do, like, nope, the process. All right, am I winning? Am I doing the right things? The sacks will come. You just, because you start pressing for it, then the other parts of your game fail and you're bad against the run or you're making dumb decisions. So that's another part of the psychological side of things where it's good to have Danielle Hunter.
That's even harder than batting average. Like statistically, it's, think about that. The leader in sacks last year was Trey Hendrickson. He had 17 and a half. Yeah. He probably plays what, conservatively 40 passing snaps a game, probably.
You get about 1,500 snaps per year.
I mean, a defensive player that plays every snap plays like 65 to 70 snaps, call half of those dropbacks. You know, that's 40 times 17 is what, like 500 or 600 pass attempts.
500 or 600 pass attempts.
Passing snaps. Yeah. So, and you get 17 and a half. Can you imagine if a baseball player got 17 hits all year long? That's about the same number of plate appearances as a baseball player gets in a season. That number of snaps. Sorry, I didn't mean to frustrate you with the. I thought you were talking about the total snaps with the 500.
Yeah.
The total overall snaps, not just passing. That would be like a baseball. Like the success rate is like 17, and I know there's other plays where you're making an impact, but just purely on sacks, they're very rare.
That's why some coach is great at. They have a production grade, and it's based on, you know, sacks, quarterback hits, tackles, assisted tackles, all that.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a lot more manageable because you're producing in a game, but it's like the stat line might not look impressive, but you're making a play one out of every six plays.
Yeah, even then it's a bad, like, to compare it to batting average, you know what I mean? Like, it's
Yeah, but that's why it's frustrating sometimes with every great pass rusher. For people that don't typically watch the defensive line, what'll happen is when they watch an individual defensive lineman for the first time in their life, they'll say, "Well, I don't know, he doesn't do a whole lot." Right. Like, it's really, really hard to make a play.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
The really good guys have two guys on them most of the time. So it's when they have those opportunities that they make a play.
Yeah. So that was Daniil's role. Talking Will off the ledge when he's not getting a sack on every single play out there. Calm the young man down. All right, text messages. Oh, wow, I hadn't seen this, and I just double-checked it here real quick. Remember Jake Bloss, Seth, the pitcher that got sent to Toronto in the Kikuchi trade, along with Will Wagner and Joey Loperfido? UCL repair on his elbow. Mm. He's UCL tear for Jake Bloss.
Was Bloss the one that came out and only could barely make it through an inning? The poor kid.
No. That was Blair Henley, I believe.
That's right. Blair.
Yeah, Blair Henley. Okay, gotcha. No, Jake Bloss came up midseason last year. I forget how he did. Good enough, I guess, to be viewed as an asset in the Kikuchi trade. But a UCL repair. God, can you imagine if Jake Bloss was on the Astros right now?
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It feels like that's one of those things. It's just a matter of time. You know, if he was still on the Astros and now yet another Astros pitcher with an elbow issue. Sorry for that, man. Jake Bloss.
Bloss actually, he played in three games last year. Never went more than four innings.
Yeah, he wasn't great, but I think the guy you're thinking of was Henley. Henley got shot.
No, 100% that is. And he's got his family in the stands and he just couldn't get out of the first inning.
Yeah.
He couldn't get an out for the longest time.
Yeah, it was tough. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Keep texting in. Someone says, you wouldn't take Donovan Mitchell, but you'd take Kevin Durant. I think I'm still on the fence about Durant. Again, all these things are dependent on what you'd have to give up. I think you'd probably have to give up more to get Donovan Mitchell than you would to get Kevin Durant. Donovan Mitchell is an all-star in his prime. I'm just not a huge Donovan Mitchell guy. But you'd have to give up more, I think, to get Donovan Mitchell off of the Cavs, who's still got 2 or 3 years left under his contract, than you would to get Kevin Durant at age 37, you know?
So, oh, man, if you're into if for a little bit of Schadenfreude, oh, dude, I lose it. There's a lot of stuff coming out of Cleveland right now.
Oh, dude.
What's that?
I listened to their morning show this morning specifically for the Schadenfreude of getting knocked out.
You love listening to Cleveland misery.
I do. I absolutely. I love listening to any misery that's not ours, and those guys have a good show. They do misery better than anybody that I know, Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Technically co-workers. They're part of the Odyssey family, so shout out to them. But yes. Yes. Seth, there was a time.
Oh,
where...
this is what it was. It was Max Strus there. He sent a group text to his Cavs teammates before game five saying, if you don't believe, don't show up for work. And then he went over 9.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, dude, why would you put yourself out there like that? All right. Payne and Pendergast. I just love the Schadenfreude. We were that city a few years ago. You know what I mean? We were the ones that people were pointing and laughing at. We're not that city anymore. So let's take pleasure in other people's pain, shall we? All right, Payne and Pendergast. Schedule release tonight. Texans need to step up their game in this particular area. We'll tell you what it is coming up next. Text message. The Rockets cannot sit on their hands. They have, all caps, to make a move because Dallas and San Antonio are poised to be better next year. Sometimes the move is improvement, man. You just, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right.
That is the most frustrating thing is that sometimes the smartest thing to do is to do nothing.
Yep.
And it's a sign of a great leader who can do that. Problem is also that sometimes horrible leaders also do nothing. But I don't look at the way Rafael Stone is operated and the way Ime Udoka is wired. I feel it's not for a lack of ambition or drive or caring about it that they won't make a move. If they choose not to make a move, that. If they're making an error, it's in trusting too much in the development of these younger guys. But I can't crush them if they don't make a move.
Yeah.
There are times where, hey, getting your young core, you go to the Warriors back in the day when they were a competitive team, and then really what it took was Steve Kerr tying it all together, and you got the very best out of all of those guys who were homegrown assets for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, the Warriors were a very homegrown team.
What I don't want to have happen is what this texter is saying, like that you're panicking because Dallas got the number one overall pick and San Antonio is poised to make moves that you could also make if you want to.
Yeah.
Like, don't do things because you're afraid. Don't go trade for Kevin Durant because you're afraid Durant might wind up on the Spurs. Like, trade for Kevin Durant if you think he makes your team better. You're better than both of those teams right now. The making up of a gap is way more on the Mavericks on the Spurs right now than you having to worry about them in the rearview mirror. It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. All right, so the Texans last year, Seth, on the all-important The Athletic's ranking of the videos for schedule releases last year, Philly was number one and went on to win the Super Bowl. Just going to say, when you have a good schedule release video, at least at the tippy top, you win the Super Bowl. Chargers were 2, Colts were 3, Titans were 4. So you had 2 AFC South teams that had great schedule release videos. Where were the Texans? 21st. 21st.
Oh.
21st. You can't have that. We need improvement. I'm sorry. I know the offensive line, and the schedule release videos need to improve. Philly was number one.
Okay.
They went on to win the Super Bowl.
The biggest thing is you can go one of two directions. You could go super high-end, glitzy Hollywood-type production, or you can do it like a really funny 19-year-old kid would do it. Some of my favorite ones are the ones that are low-budget.
Man,
the Titans
street.
Did a really good one a few years ago where they had people on Broadway in New York guess the logo.
In Nashville,
Broadway in Nashville. Yeah. Is there a Broadway in Nashville?
Yes, that's the main street in Nashville. Yep. It's the main street in Nashville is Broadway.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm disappointed because I like to say they kind of owned themselves by showing how stupid all these Nashvillians
That's
were.
That's good.
People
you should
were guessing
be happy
the logos
about that.
Wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm giving them less credit for it.
A lot of them.
But that was
felt
very
like,
low budget.
It was very low budget. A lot of them in that video, I felt like were in town for bachelorette parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's a big go-to.
Yeah. They were tourists.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the Nashvillians will tell you. The Texans had one that their video last year had the hydraulic press smashing various various inanimate objects that had to do with their 17 opponents.
I like the concept of that, but it was a little bit almost like sometimes like on SNL, they'll have a skit that in theory is funny, but it's 7 minutes long, yeah. And you're like, all right, okay, that's just, this could have been really funny if it was a 3 minute sketch. I love those hydraulic press videos at large on the internet.
I do too.
But I didn't want to see it 17 times in a row.
I didn't really mind. It's weird. I like watching things get smushed.
Yeah, that part of it's fun. It was just, but I like watching it in the format where you're watching one thing get squished.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe another over a longer period of time.
21st, and this is what they said about the video. You've got a feel for the social media teams of the Texans and Chiefs when they found out that they weren't the only ones using a hydraulic press to smash things that represent the opponents on the schedule. So I guess the Chiefs did this as well last year because they switched to the Texans get the nod because they switched to a bulldozer to destroy a table representing Bill's Mafia. That's much better than Kansas City's gross chicken wings annihilation. Oh, did Kansas City hydraulic press a perfectly good plate of chicken wings? Horrible. Horrible, I say.
Well, yeah, it's appropriate for Buffalo, though, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of gross. Yeah, and you think about the bones cracking and everything.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, the Texans should do an ASM video. Are those the ones, the sound videos, where people are just like, they're rustling their fingers across something, and people people just love the sound
they
of
like it.
It gives a tingle in the back of your head. Do something
different.
Like that.
It'd be different. Man, teams got to step up their games, man. It gets harder and harder every year. So that's tonight. That's at 7 o'clock, the schedule release. Now, the video for the Texans, I have no idea when that's coming out or if they're doing one. I'm assuming they are. 7 o'clock is the schedule release. 7 o'clock is also the start for the Astros game, probably a little after. If you have one TV, Seth, are you there to watch Colton Gordon's first inning as a Major League Baseball pitcher or the drop of the NFL schedule tonight?
Oh, I will not watch the broadcast of the drop of the NFL schedule. This is something that I'm going to consume 2 hours beforehand from whomever leaks it before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be watching Colton Gordon. Throwing, he's aggressive, Sean, which means one of two things. It's either going to be an awesome start,
shelled.
Or it's going to be, thank God Framber went 8 innings last night.
Because
these relievers need it. So Colton Gordon's going to go up there and throw strikes. When asked about it, he said, yep, I'm going to do what I do, go out there and throw strikes. And we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, this is what Joe Espada said about him in the Chronicle. Strike thrower, aggressive in the zone. He's tough. I'm excited about it. He's put himself in this position, and I think he matches up really well against the Royals lineup I'm looking for. I wish he hadn't said that about the Royals lineup. I just wish he'd said he's aggressive and he put himself in this position. Espada said, I'm looking forward to it. I am as well, and I agree with you. As much as I love the schedule release, I really only love it for two reasons. One, the Texan schedule, and two, the bye week, because Amy and I travel for the bye week to an NFL game. Other than that, you're right. I don't need to watch 2 hours of people breaking down this. I think it's an awesome day, and I love the reveal. It's so that is really fun to find out and start to envision what the season is going to look like. That is a fun process.
You love making your plans and all that.
I do. And I think a lot of people do. So I love the reveal part of it, but I don't need any more than just that. I need 15 seconds. Tell me what it is, and then I'll get exhilarated about it.
Let me give you my old school baseball scout take on Colton Gordon. Sean.
Yeah, give it to me.
You can throw all your fancy statistics out the window. You know what this kid is? He's a winner.
Mm.
He started the game that clinched the AAA National Championship for the Space Cowboys last year.
He did?
He's a winner.
He's a winner.
That's all you need to know about him. He's got it.
His record is 4-0. What does the 4 stand for?
He's a winner.
What does the 4 stand for? Wins. What does the 0 stand for? Losses. Winner. 2.55 ERA, too, man. Got good numbers. So we'll see.
You should be a fan of yours because I know how much you love the World Baseball Classic.
Who did he pitch for?
He pitched in the World Baseball Classic for Israel last year.
Oh, cool. Cool. Again, my stance on the World Baseball Classic, if I can clarify, because it's coming here next year, I'm fine with the World Baseball Classic existing. I just don't want any Astros playing in it. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. And so if Astros play in it, I find it stupid. But as long as there's, the Astros, there's no Astros putting themselves in harm's way, which there will be. I get it. I really hated it when Altuve got his hand plunked in the World Baseball Classic. And I think I was right to hate it then. I think I was right about that.
I don't, yeah, I'm, I wish there was another way around it to where you weren't playing at a time of year when guys, I mean, there's no way around it really, other than if you put the base, if you put Major League Baseball on pause for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's about the only way you could do it. Where, and even,
which hockey
and
does. Then, hockey does
you'd also
that.
Have, but you'd also have to reduce the total number of games, too, because I don't want my players being subjected to any more injury than possible. So you'd have to almost put it in the middle of the MLB season, and you're going to play 20 fewer games that MLB season.
Yeah.
Then I'll be happy.
I'll tell you who ain't going for
but
that.
But also very angry.
I'll tell you who ain't going for that, the owners. They are not. 20 fewer games, sure, no problem. Is Kevin Durant swarmy enough for Houston? Maybe not. I think he's. I think he's got some dog-like qualities. Well, Kevin Durant. He's just,
One thing people always say about Durant when they're talking about this is, hey, you know, Udoka knows him from his time with the Nets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Udoka knew James Harden from his time with the Nets too.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like Harden impressed Udoka so much that he had to have him on the team last year.
Right.
Udoka reportedly is a guy that was not cool with James Harden coming back here. And I think that was a wise decision.
I think it was a wise decision too, which I guess begs the opposite question, which is if KD were to come here, that would presume that Udoka, like the Udoka stamp of approval.
Oh yeah, he liked what he saw in Brooklyn, right.
And we should trust his stamp of approval if KD were to come here.
But there's also a chance that maybe just based on the time in Brooklyn, he feels like Durant might not be the guy for this culture, this locker room, all of that.
Maybe so.
I hope there's some kind of report about a source within the organization says Udoka this or that about Durant.
Oh, yeah.
I only either hear that Udoka is gung-ho, loves Durant, or Udoka is meh on Durant.
Yes. And I want people to put their name on it, too. You know, like, it's unlike this anonymous player who called Russell Westbrook immature yesterday. I'm like, I need names. Come on.
That was after game two. The report was that after game two, he called him, one of the teammates called Russell Westbrook immature because he got into an argument with Gordon.
It's a long article, man. I got to read this thing today because Russell Westbrook is one of the more fascinating athletes to me. You know, like at his peak, he was thought to be one of the four or five best players in the NBA. And yet he's been kind of the same guy throughout his career in terms of inefficiency, immaturity. The big moments are really good and the bad moments are really bad. And I think he even knows that. He said that about himself last week. It's just, so yeah, I guess there's a long article in The Athletic where they, Russ had a teammate that called him immature. So we'll see. They're on the brink right now, man. One game, they're trailing 3-2 against OKC right now. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So schedule release tonight. I would imagine the guys on Area 45 are going to be digging into that heavy. That'll happen. That'll come down during their show tonight. So they'll be heavy on that. Colton Gordon, Astros, we'll be watching that tonight as well, and they'll be tracking that. They'll have, after the game's over, they'll have you covered for Astros stuff. John Lopez sits down, Reggie Adetula plugging in the old headphones over there. Gentlemen, how we feeling?
Terrific. It's schedule release day.
It's Christmas Day.
Reggie hates
for schedule
it, I love
nerds.
It.
You hate the schedule release day.
I won't say I hate it, but I just, you know, I feel like it's outsized hype.
He's like, yeah, I disagree.
Before the show,
sir, you are on Sports Talk Radio.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Look, I know this is what's I can tell I'm not gonna have like the apex of a career that others might because I can't drum myself up to that place to lie about it. We will talk about the things that we do find interesting in this, and what we could hope because I do think there are things that are noteworthy. I'm just not willing to get to the place where it's Christmas.
It's funny because
I love it.
Or maybe it's Christmas for me as an adult rather than Christmas as a child. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. It's not as exciting. Yeah, I'll get two or three presents here. And
exactly.
Kinda,
and I'm the exact opposite. I love it. Hey, we were talking right before the show.
I do too.
And he said, we're not going to do leaks, are we? I said, sure we are.
Well, you got to be careful.
I've got a good source. I think I've told you over the years. I've come up with one.
That's how you get burned.
No. He's been great for about 3 or 4 years.
There was a graphic yesterday that got leaked that looked very official.
He didn't put it on his.
Very official. Yeah. And the problem is it had the actual two games in week one. Mm-hmm. It was a leak of the week one schedule, allegedly. And it had the two correct first two games, the Thursday opener and the Brazil game were on there. So I think that immediately 95% of people are going to go, well, it looks right to me. Texans are playing the Broncos in week one. That's what it said. And they are not playing the Broncos in week one. Indeed.
So there's that. And okay. I like it. He doesn't, but we'll find a happy medium.
I think you guys will be all right. You don't have to like all the same stuff.
No. And I've far gotten rid of the assumption that everything I do is going to be something I enjoy.
Yeah. That felt like shit.
I mean, I'm not going to have any fun, but yeah.
Reginald, you know you have to, you know, Reginald, because I know you're, you know, you like to, you know, you like to learn and take in information from a lot of different sources. This is what you have to be careful about. There's a certain segment of sports writers out there who, mostly because they're not happy with the way their life turned out, and or they had dreams that they were going to write the great American novel someday or whatever, and now they just realizing, oh, I'm just a sports writing hack. Yeah. They like to look down on sports radio hosts for blowing up anything and everything about the NFL, because that's what sells. You just have to remind yourself, you cannot succumb to the criticism from those cold and timid souls.
No.
Those broken spirits.
Well said, no. Sir. Well
you embrace,
said.
You embrace what makes money, damn it.
That's it. You overhype the overhypable is what you do.
Okay.
100%.
My bad. Yes. We'll break down all the nooks and crannies,
well, okay,
the potential of the 2025
yes, you will.
NFL schedule.
Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing.
At some point tomorrow morning, I need you to say, this is the worst day in the history of Seattle sports.
That is it. I can't believe
the NFL did Seattle wrong with their schedule like
right.
that.
The mistake isn't in not liking the schedule release. The mistake is in not going over the top your dislike for the schedule
release. Oh,
yeah.
Pick a side, man.
I'm notorious in being in that central space. What I should do is I should go and take the general, like, you know, I don't disdain is way too far, but, you know, kind of a disinterest. Yeah. And then turned it into like a bit where I go so far in like pretending that I like it that it's evident that I'm just
That you're mocking people?
Yes.
Hey. You got to be careful with that, because when I started Stat Nerd Seth, I was very much like it was I turned into Stat Nerd Seth.
Oh yeah,
and I cared too much about the advanced analytics. You know, I got seduced by them.
In wrestling, Seth, when somebody has a gimmick, but then they start really living that gimmick, they call it working themselves into a shoot. That's what you did. You worked yourself.
You
it was a work. Yeah. And ultimately became the real thing. Seth, Stat Nerd Seth.
It was a bit that became real life.
That's right.
Just remember. Never take it too seriously, Reginald. P.T. Yeah. Barnum didn't get rich by being an intellectual.
I got a question of the day for you.
Yeah. Give us a question of the day.
This is going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah.
What's going to replace, and it doesn't have to be just sports, going to replace should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, okay. Oh, as sort of like the...
Like down the road.
Oh, a long standing. Well, Sean brought it up this morning. It still is already, but maybe this becomes paramount now, is just the whole steroid era Hall of Fame caliber players.
Maybe like the candidacy for those guys.
I think if you're projecting and you're kind of thinking about the question, is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback ever?
Oh, okay. The GOAT argument between Brady and Mahomes. I feel like that one, that's in the LeBron MJ category right there. Yeah.
You know what I'd be interested in is, and this is more of a short-term one, but what exactly defines Travis Hunter being a bust? Like, if the Jaguars drafted him to break the mold of expectations and to show society exactly what can be done when people say it's not possible, is it if he ends up playing substantially on both sides of the ball, but even if he's a good receiver, is he kind of a bust because they traded up so aggressively for him?
If they shut him down on one side of the ball, I promise you on First Take the next day, that will be a question of the same place that it says what's at stake for the Celtics without Jason Tatum on the screen right now.
Yeah,
we'll say was Travis Hunter a failed draft pick? Was that a failed pick? If they shut him down on one side of the ball, for
I have
sure.
one yeah. very similar to that.
Okay,
Is Bryce Young elite? See, because if you're looking for projecting forward, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Maybe give them some chances to
Bryce
win.
Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be good.
He could end up being like that Flacco territory where people are arguing that if you don't think he's elite, then you don't know ball.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just because he hasn't even been good yet, has he?
I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's okay at the end of the year with Canales. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be alive at the age of 26.
Oh wow.
Fair point.
He's so small.
Yeah.
I fear for him. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not even saying that as a joke. I fear for his safety.
I feel like the spirit of this question, it feels like all the stuff, I don't know what the question is, but all the things going on around the transfer portal and NIL feel like they
That'll
fit that
there.
Category. Like, that's going to be something.
Are college athletes professional?
Yeah. Like, right.
They are.
Especially
totally.
If they might unionize at some point. Yeah. Like, that feels like that. But boy, it's going to be. Those are tough shoes to fill. The Pete Rose Hall of Fame argument.
That's right.
Been around for 35
years. Does a straw have
now.
One hole or two?
There's a hot dog, a sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I stole that from Figgy. Payne and Pendergast with you. Seth, I will see you tomorrow where we will break down every facet of the schedule for four hours on the show.
Yeah, antibodies, and we will go hardcore in on the every single team in the league.
We got
12 segments. We got to hit at least three per segment. Yes.
All 272 regular season
every
games.
Single, yeah, we'll do our full predictions
on every single game tomorrow. So tune in for that.
You're
tomorrow.
Home for game-by-game breakdown.
Game-by-game breakdowns of the schedule, yes. All the nooks and crannies. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.